You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in and listening to The Real Short Box. My name is Donald.
My name is Jarrett. How you doing?
Hey, Jarrett. Good to hear from you. What are we doing today? We're talking about something pretty fun, I think, right?
Yeah, we're going to do one of our character spotlights, and we usually always try and tie those into usually a movie or rumors of a character being used in a movie or TV show. And today, we are talking about Monica Rambeau. Now, for those of you who are currently watching the WandaVision show on Disney+, she has become quite a fan favorite. A lot of people were happy to see her. And I think, what is it? As we're recording this, episode 6 is going to be out tomorrow.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So I think episode 6 is out tomorrow. And now she is definitely the heroine of the show. So I also would like to say that there might be some minor WandaVision spoilers as we kind of go through her history and then talk about the show as well. Right. So if that's an issue for you, press pause, go watch the show, and then come right back. And yeah, like I said, I believe episode 6 or 7 is coming out tomorrow. So
it's episode 17, actually. So,
you know. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. They decided to just keep going with it. It's not going to stop. It's officially, they're going to actually try to make WandaVision an actual thing. So if you wake up with new pants and everything's black and white, you'll know why.
Have they said anything about, like, definite season? I mean, I know, like, WandaVision, if you're watching, it's kind of a mystery. But have they said anything about, like, season 2s, like multiple seasons for these shows? Or
Not that I'm aware of. I haven't heard anything about there being more than one season of any of this. So a lot of these are probably one and dones, and then they're going to fold them back into the movie universe.
True, right.
Which I think, honestly, is pretty smart. I don't want to weaken the characters or the stories just for the sake of ratings on a site. While WandaVision, a lot of people very much enjoy it. It is very niche and it's very complicated, and it's not something that you can technically replicate in any way, shape, or form. I think what they're trying to do is bring about the expansion of the Marvel Universe through these television series. And I think that's a smart way to do it, to expand that way, particularly introducing Monica Rambeau, who is no relation to Sylvester Stallone, by the way.
No, or the French poet Rambeau.
Right, exactly, yeah.
This Monica Rambeau was created by Roger Stern, writer, and artist John Romita Jr., two of my favorite Spider-Man artist and writer teams. She first appeared as Captain Marvel, one of many, and we'll get into this whole name craziness, but she was Captain Marvel in Amazing Spider-Man Annual 16. She was then named Photon.
If I may, real quick, she was Captain Marvel in the Amazing Spider-Man issue because they said she was a captain, and they were like, "Oh, that captain is a Marvel."
And that really,
Dad jokes created her name.
Wow. So she is, AKA Captain Marvel, AKA Photon, AKA Pulsar, and now she is currently known as Spectrum. So if you're a
where
first,
you can get your you can get your cable Spectrum internet
or Photon, the old the precursor to laser tag, or like laser tags, like
I still have that at home at my parents' place.
Really?
I have the Photon guns and helmet. It's great.
Well, Photon was better, not better as far as, I don't remember the I remember playing laser tag, but Photon had the TV show with it as well, I think. So you had two things going on, but I remember it was like, are you going to get laser tag or are you going to get Photon?
Yeah, I'm going to get
also known as rich kid presents,
right? Yeah. Rich kid presents, exactly. We got it because after years after, so it was on sale.
So nice. Yeah, so if you're a first appearance collector as we are, and you really love this character, you've got your work cut out for you. Like, Amazing Spider-Man Annual 16 was, that's her first appearance as Captain Marvel. That was like a $15 book, maybe in the 20 realm, and now it's gone as high as into the $125 range if you've got it, like, you know, 9.8.
Right.
Her first appearance as Photon was Avengers Unplugged number 5.
Yeah, what first a random appearance,
Oh, these are all random. First appearance as Pulsar, which I don't think lasted long, was New Thunderbolts 9. And then her current first appearance, and I think you just picked up this book, as Spectrum, was Mighty Avengers Volume 2, number 1.
Yeah, I'm guessing that they're going to go the Spectrum route because they already have a Captain Marvel in the TV series. So they can't, you know, and in the MCU, so they're not going to name her Captain Marvel. So no. I think they're going to go with her newest incantation, which is Spectrum from Mighty Avengers number 1. It came out about 8 years ago. That issue came out. Already been 8 years. Jesus.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So she's been Spectrum for a while now. When she was Photon was interesting because she was Captain Marvel at that point in time. And the real Mar-Vell's son, if I recall.
Mm-hmm. Genus Vell, yeah.
Right, yeah. He was in that, and he was like, so I want to take my dad's name, and I want to be Captain Marvel. And so we're going to change your name. And she's like, oh okay. So she just basically rolls over and accepts it, and then changes her name to Photon. And those Unplugged comics, I'm going to be honest, they're all pretty awful.
Was a pretty big mess of, like, Avengers. I think it was post-Civil War.
Yeah.
When, you know, there was some cool stuff going on. It was, like, after the Dark Reign stuff, and then, like, then it just got messy. Well, like, really
Avengers
messy.
Unplugged, no, that's, with Spectrum, that's Mighty Avengers. That was
okay.
With Avengers Unplugged, this was a right after around the time of when like all the Image writers came back to like write Marvel titles and stuff.
Oh, well, there
Not
you go.
Not far off from there. So Avengers Unplugged was like, or actually no, I think that came before. Avengers Unplugged came before because that was when they were trying to emulate that type of style. So they had like Mike Diodato do the artwork on some of the stuff. And they had like Hercules shave his beard and mustache and stuff.
Oh, I remember that. That sucked. Yeah.
It was a really, really bad run. These Unplugged, Fantastic Four, Avengers. I think even like they may have had a Hulk one at some point or something like that. They were all pretty bad. And they were charging, I think they came out regularly, it was like $1.50 for a comic at the time. And they were 99 cents. So it was like, ooh, got to try this. And then you tried it and you were like, don't want to try this. And then you put it back. So. With Monica, I thought it was crazy with Roger Stern. Roger Stern actually got so mad that they made his character kind of a, because he was very excited when he created Monica. He wanted her to kind of look like Pam Grier, and they were like, no, we're not going to do that. And so then like by the time she was created, she actually looked pretty cool, and he was very happy with her and her specific hairstyle. She represented African-American culture very well, he thought. So when he took her into the Avengers and made her the leader, it was written in there that Captain America actually nominated her to be the leader of the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
So she was super honored. She accepted it. She was doing really well as the leader. And then the editor at the time, I think, was Mark Grunwald. Mm-hmm. And he's wrote Captain America for 37 years. So
pretty much, yeah.
He wanted Captain America to take the lead again and be the leader of the Avengers. So he told Roger, he was like, this Monica, you know, experiment's going to end soon and Cap's going to take over. And Roger's like, no. And he's like, yes. So he did it anyway. And Cap took over and Monica was usurped. But in a more elegant manner than what he had it originally happen. Mark had the idea that Monica would screw up and Captain America would have to step in. So basically a young, strong black woman messes up real bad. And it takes a real strong white dude, from the, you know, 40s to step in and take control and help her out, you know?
Right.
And that didn't sit well with Roger. And so he said, no, I'm not, I'm not going to be a part of this. And he left. In fact, he left Marvel altogether and then went over to DC and promptly killed Superman. So there's some stuff there, you know. I thought that was completely fascinating. So they ended up having to where she got sick instead of like being usurped, you know, in her position. She just used she had to, like, resign. Her power.
Yeah.
Right. She didn't. She basically just got too sick to be able to lead. She had used all her power up fighting this this baddie. And then, of course, Captain America had to take over. And eventually, it didn't take too long that they were able to get her power back for her. And then, of course, then they took her into the Avengers Unplugged and, you know, made her change her name to Photon. Then into Thunderbolts about 9 years later, I think, 9 or 10 years later. They made her change her name to Pulsar, which was crazy. And then Spectrum was, geez, after Pulsar, that was, about 13 years after.
Yeah,
something like
she was in Next Wave. She was with the Marvel Divas. And then I think it was when she was with Mighty Avengers is when, Mighty Avengers is when she took on Spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But one of the cool things that they're trying to, well, I mean, there's a ton of cool things. I'll first say, like, I was first introduced to this character in as a kid in the Avengers books, obviously. And I was always just taken by, she had a really cool costume. She had a really dynamic look. She was one of the very few black characters in comics that I was seeing. And she was, they made no bones about how powerful she was, which is what I loved. Like, I've talked ad nauseum about, you know, my favorite Avengers story, Under Siege, where they, Masters of Evil take over the Avengers mansion. And one of the big things of it was Baron Zemo too, is his the son, his plan was, the very first thing they had to do was get rid of Captain Marvel because she was too powerful, like, mm-hmm. So they had to, like, put her in this dark dimension, like, literally just like, it was a writer's point of view. And Stern wrote that story, and I think it was his way of going, like, this girl is way too powerful, like, my character's a badass, we're gonna put her in this dimension. And then she's the one who pretty much saves the day when she gets it. Like, as soon as she escapes, it's like ass whooping time, and she takes on, like, everybody, melts Baron Zemo's guns. Like, you could see why they're like, we have to get rid of her before they take the mansion fully over, or else we can't deal with this. Because her power levels, I'll go over her powers real quick.
Sure.
She was bombarded with extra dimensional energy, which is, you know, that's the Marvel way, you know, radiation, extra dimensional energy. That's just it tweaks your genes, which is what's happening. Actually, they've mentioned, and this would be a spoiler, in the WandaVision show, which is cool because it's alluding that they're going to give her powers, which is great because right now she's just a member of the sword, organization. But they said that because she was in the WandaVision reality warping world, her genes were changed. So which sounds exactly like her comic book origin, as far as, you know, it's about as vague as extra dimensional energy will get.
Right.
So she can transform herself into any form of energy within the electromagnetic spectrum. Among the many energy forms she has assumed and is able to control are gamma rays, X-rays, ultraviolet radiation, the whole spectrum. She could become, she could alter her appearance. She has superhuman speed. Like, I think she can go up to light speed, the speed of sound, light speed. She's got intangibility, invisibility, energy duplication. So she could match an energy. So if you need to, like, power up something and you need more of that power, she could match it and boost it. Energy blasts, of course, because if you have energy powers, you got to be able to zap people. Hypercosmic awareness. So she's kind of, she knows when things are going, like, amiss in the cosmic world. And she's just on her own got photographic memory, which is enhanced by her powers. So she is a virtual powerhouse. And the cool thing is, as far as that character in WandaVision, they so far seem to be, not only did they get the look good, the actress is really good, but they seem to be going to that, like, level of strength and power, which I really like. Like, it's giving not only a female character, but a black female character their due. And
yes.
So hopefully they don't screw it up.
Yeah. Yeah. She's really cool in the series in WandaVision. She's probably the best part besides the FBI detective that's in there.
Right.
And he's the same guy from, I think, from Fresh Off the Boat, I want to say.
Oh, the guy who plays Jimmy, is it Wu?
Yeah. Jimmy Wu. Yeah. Same guy. He's a really good actor. Really, really enjoy his work. I find that the show to be a little bit of a slow burn. I feel like I enjoy what they're doing, but I think they could have moved it along a lot faster than what they have. I think they would have more of a rabid fan base than they do now if they would have done that. But the lack of story development in the first two really kind of slowed everything down.
Well, my wife, hi Emily, said it best. She said those first two episodes could have been like a half episode to one episode, because I know each episode, if you don't know, they kind of do a version of a show of a decade. So I think the first one was like the Dick Van Dyke Show, and then the other one was like Bewitched.
50s, then the 60s, and then the 70s, which was
two episodes are like the 50s, I believe. And the shows are so similar in that sitcom of like how those sitcoms were, and they're both black and white, and they're both they're just so similar. And the whole thing of this show is kind of slowly revealing that all is not right. But those first two episodes were almost just verbatim, aside from like little clips, were just verbatim watching a really well done redo of an old TV show.
Yep. Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. So there really wasn't much point to having two of the same thing. And I think they could have even done it where it was like the 50s and 60s condensed into a half an episode and then go right into the 70s. And then we would, you know, I didn't care so much about the past. I care more about the character and what's going on. And I don't like to feel like I have to guess everything and not know what's happening. And when it comes to films and shows, you have to start revealing things at a certain point. And if you take too long, I'm out. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people have an even shorter attention span to that kind of thing than I do. And a lot of people were out after the first episode. They were like, no. And then people were like, no, you got to go back and watch it. And they're like, okay. You know, and then they go back and watch it. And then be like, I watched the second episode. I'm out again. You know, it's tough.
I mean, the only reason I actually stuck with the show, and I will full on say right now, I love it. I'm enjoying it. But I did not get into it until the third episode. And the only reason I stuck with it was because there was literally, one, it's COVID still, so we're all indoors for the most part. And two, there was really just actually nothing else on. I had, exhausted all my other TV shows, documentaries on streaming services that I wanted to see. And I was like, well, there's still a new episode of this. I guess I'll try it again. And took to the third episode. My brother the other day said, I watched 20 minutes of it and I turned it off. And I said, is it any good? And I said, just get to episode 3. So if you're out there and you're not, and you just did shut it off, or you're yelling at us, cause you're like, it was great from the beginning. God bless you. But, if you did shut it off, get to episode 3, just get through it and get to episode 3. Those first ones, at least, are like 20 minutes. They're pretty short episodes.
Right. And you'll see Monica in a different light. In pretty much up until episode 4, you'll see Monica in a different light and all of this. And it's really cool. Actually, her character really develops throughout the entire thing. And that's what's nice. That's what everybody appreciates. And so I don't think we touched so much on the origin of Monica.
I can go over that if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so she was Monica Rambeau. She was born and raised in New Orleans, Louisiana. She's the daughter of Maria Rambeau, a successful seamstress, and firefighter Frank Rambeau. She was a lieutenant in the New Orleans Harbor Patrol, and fate came upon her one day when she gained her superpowers after being, as we said, bombarded by extra-dimensional energy produced by an energy disruptor. That's about as weapon, about as vague as you get, created by a criminal scientist. The most vague but yet overdone origin type of thing. She was originally given the name by Captain Marvel by the media, and not long afterwards, she visited New York, hoping to get help in controlling her powers, and there she caught the attention of Peter Parker, as we know him as Spider-Man. She was followed by Spider-Man during her search for help, and after clearing the misunderstanding, she was finally assisted by Tony Stark. Now, as Captain Marvel, she then joined and served with the Avengers, as we talked about. Her membership was a lengthy stint, and as Donald, you said before, she did become the team leader, but she eventually had to resign. Now, I want to kind of reiterate how much of a punk Captain Marvel's son was. So she agreed to change her alias to Photon because she believed that Genus Fell, Captain Marvel's son, he was entitled to it. And out of respect for her predecessor, the male Captain Marvel, she changed her name. But Monica was angered upon learning that Genus Fell had changed his name to Photon. So what is the biggest dick move you could ever do? That's what Genus Fell did. He's like, you know, I kind of want your name. She's like, fine, I'll take Photon. And then he was like, oh, I'm not even going to tell her I'm going to take Photon too. So I don't know. I have a feeling that was actually just bad writing. Like some writer probably was like, oh, we're writing Captain Marvel. And someone's like, oh, we call them Photon now. And they probably got it wrong. So they had two Photons. So that's when she became Pulsar. So yeah, that was pretty ridiculous.
that's so bad.
It's terrible. So like I said, she had a stint with Next Wave, which was a book I never, that was another one that kind of came out and I was like, I don't, you know, I saw some characters that look, it was members included Rambo. So you had Captain Marvel, the man known only as the Captain. So yeah, Boom Boom from, you know, X-Force, New Mutants, Aaron Stack and Elsa Bloodstone. So it was an interesting idea, but it was one of those things where I think like you were getting like a new writer and they said, okay, I got this cool thing. And they had a really interesting team, but then couldn't sustain that, you know, or right. Didn't know. See, sometimes you have an interesting team, like a really cool team that like I would have picked at like 12 and been like, that's an awesome team. But then you put those personalities together in a team and they don't always work.
No.
You know, I saw a lot of that in the Avengers books when they were bringing in a lot of X-Men, you know, they brought in, Sunfire and they brought in like Havoc and all that stuff. And I was like, I don't really see these guys as Avengers. Like, you know, it was just a weird, I get there trying to like make it this like universal superhero thing and bring in the mutants and all that. But right. I just, to me, it always felt kind of off.
X-Men has always been the anti-team. Like,
right.
They're not really, they only band together out of desperation, out of a need to survive. Whereas the Avengers band together to save the world and be heroes. And, you know, right. It's a big difference between the X-Men and the Avengers. So when you take X-Men characters that are very loners in you know, in Wolverine, for example, I've never thought he worked in the Avengers. But they just keep plugging him in there because he's a big yep. name and he gets numbers. You know, he gets sales for the book. But Wolverine is not an Avenger. To me, I could see Beast being an Avenger because Beast he's very intelligent. He's very personable. You know, he likes to talk to people and figure things out, and he's extremely intelligent. So if there's an issue, I can see them going to Beast and then him joining the team and then his teaming up with Wonder Man and the two of them. Like creating this Laurel and Hardy kind of dynamic was a lot of fun. So yeah. I can totally see all of that. It's just, yeah, Sunfire, no, you can't. He's not, no, that's a terrible.
He's not a joiner. Yeah, he's not a team
right.
member.
But it's, it's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
You know, so with Monica, though, Monica's always kind of fit in. And in fact, she joined up, what was it? What we were with Blue Marvel.
Yep.
And. Yep. They created a team called the Ultimates, if I recall.
Right.
And they did some really cool stuff. I think including at one point where she could use her energy-based powers to psychically link everybody so they could communicate without actually even talking.
Yep.
Now, that's a cool expression of her powers and a cool way to do it. So the Ultimates was a really cool title, but ultimately, no pun intended, or maybe pun intended, sales, I guess, were just too low and it didn't work out. But there is a theory now that they were talking about her in the series, spoilers, by the way, in yeah. WandaVision, needing to talk to an expert about something. And mm-hmm. the theory is now that it quite possibly could be Blue Marvel.
Right. And now this Blue Marvel character is, you know, we've talked about before. This character has so much potential and so much like really weird secret buzz. I mean, this book, his Blue Marvel 1 was a low print run. So that was one of the big things. But also like this character has never been mentioned in a movie. as far as having potential to be in a movie, aside from like the WandaVision rumors now. But prior to this, this book, raw, like not CGC'd or whatever, was in the $300 to $500 range for like, and yeah, still is. And it's just one of these books. It's like this unicorn that a lot of people want to get or have or are holding on to because he might get used. And yeah, and the closest they've come to any induction of him into the MCU has been this rumor that, yeah, because not only were they in the Ultimates together in the comic books, they're also romantically involved. So boom, yep, right there, you introduce this guy. You don't even have to make him the Blue Marvel yet, because I think he's another character who right, has bombarded with energy and becomes like pretty much like a Superman.
Even technically, though, I think in the comics he's like 80 years older than her. So
oh, that's really, right. Yeah, yeah. He was really supposed weird, to be like one, kind of like the Sentry, like a character that they kind of retconned into the Marvel universe, mm-hmm, with a earlier history. So yeah, he's the potential on that, those two together too. Also, like two super super strong characters, because Blue Marvel is like, yeah, he's on like a Superman a level. I think he, like, you know, it's fought Hyperion and all that, so like he's like that kind of guy.
Right,
so yeah, so actually this episode coming up is what a lot of people are kind of wondering if that's going to be, if they're going to introduce him.
Yep. We're going to wait and see if your investment goes through the roof, or yeah, if your investment just stays where it's at, because I don't see it going down anytime soon. Anybody that has that book, I think it's called Adam, Legend of the Blue Marvel, am I correct?
Yep Yeah, yeah, it was a five-issue miniseries or something.
Yeah, 4 or 5-issue miniseries. It's solid, dude. Like, even the trade, by the way, has gone through the roof. Like the original trade, yep, because I don't know if they've ever done another print run of it. No. So the trade collecting it had a low print run as well. So mm-hmm, and it collects all, you know, every issue of the 5-issue miniseries. So that is expensive to own. So if you have that, also make sure you take care of it. Take care of your books in general, everybody. Like, always take care of your books, bags and boards. You know, don't just leave them loose lying around. Don't try not to stack them. You know, stand them straight, mm-hmm, standing up, basically inside of a short box or a long box. I mean, hell, our name's The Real Short Box for a reason. Yeah. That's where, you know, Jarrett and I put a lot of our books in short boxes, just because it's easier to move around and they're smaller. They can get into better places than a long box could. So we're not the real long box for a reason. We're the real short box.
That's true. But, plus, long boxes suck to move. Dear God.
Oh, my God. Worst. Absolutely. They're heavy as hell. Yeah. After you move about 10 of them, you develop back pain and then you die, I think. That's how that works.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
Yeah. You gotta be careful.
So, yeah.
Anything you want to add real quick?
No, just on an ending note that, like, I don't think as of right now, I would say Monica Rambeau is, like, as far as, like, new characters, is one of the most entertaining, interesting, and kind of hottest character right now. I think, like I said, that book was a $15, $20 book, her first appearance, and it's, like, $125 now, and it's just, it's a, you know, a testament to the writing and the creators and the actress in WandaVision, as well as she's just a great character, like always a fun read, and always for the most part written well, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. They try to stay true to the character for the most part, even in this Strike Force series that they did, oddly enough. Such a weird random series. I think that's her most recent incarnation, or her most recent appearance was in that, if I recall. But She's somebody that's not going to go away anytime soon, particularly now that she's entered the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And she's an awesome character. She is rightfully should have been the Captain Marvel that we all needed and deserved, and unfortunately did not get. But, you know, it is what it is. Love or hate the other Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, Monica Rambeau is now here and here to stay. I love how they used, spoilers, the disappearance, the 5-year gap of people disappearing and then being snapped back in to show her age and, you know, how she was able to be basically placed into the MCU then. So it's really cool, really creative. Excited to see what WandaVision has coming up. And, yeah, that's Monica Rambeau in a nutshell. So Please, everybody, reach out to us if you'd like. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We're on there as The Real Short Box. You can also catch us, our podcasts. We do a live podcast pretty much every Monday on YouTube. You can catch us on there under the Rumble Spoon Productions page. We do a live podcast there. We also do these regular audio podcasts, and those are available on YouTube, Spreaker, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, pretty much all the big guns you can find us on, and some of the little ones as well. And please, you know, if you can't find us on any that you're looking into, reach out to us. Let us know, and we'll see if we can get on that podcast platform for you so you can listen to us. And as always, if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps, maybe, we will see you
at the comic shop.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. My name is Donald.
I'm Jarrett. Captain Marvel away! That's not her thing, but yeah.
All right. Good try. Good try.
It should be. It should be.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.